Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 3, Chapter entitled Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages. Yasvetayo Rito Dando. Yasvetayo Rito Dando. Bhavad Birma Manuvrathe. Translation: O great sages, I approve of the punishment that you who are devoted to me have meted out to them. Now there is no purport in this verse. I will go to the next verse. Tadva prasadayame adhya brahma devam paramime. Tat hariti atma kritam manne yatsva pumbe asit krita. Translation: To me the Brahmana is the highest and the most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the domain of my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. Purport: The Lord is always in favor of the Brahmanas and the cows, and therefore it is said, Go Brahmana Ithayacha. Lord Krishna or Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also the worshipable deity of the Brahmanas. In the Vedic literature, in the Rig Mantra hymns of the Rig Veda, it is stated that those who are actually Brahmanas always look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suryaha. Those who are qualified Brahmanas worship only the Vishnu form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means Krishna, Rama and all Vishnu expansions. A so-called Brahmana who is born in the family of a Brahmanas but performs activities aimed against the Vaishnavas cannot be accepted as a Brahmana, because Brahmana means Vaishnava and Vaishnava means Brahmana. One who has become a devotee of the Lord is always Brahmana. The formula is Brahma Jananti Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who has understood Brahman, and a Vaishnava is one who has understood the personality of Godhead. Brahman realization is the beginning of realizations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who understands the personality of Godhead also knows the impersonal feature of the Supreme, which is Brahman. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. It should be noted that the glories of the Brahmana described in this chapter by the Lord Himself refers to His devotees Brahmana or the Vaishnava. It should never be misunderstood that the so-called Brahmanas who are born in a Brahman families but have no Brahmanical qualifications are referred in this connection. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Nanjana Sanakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam sthapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam. Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Samrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam. Sarvaitam Savadotam Parijana Saidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visatanvitam Shyam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhano Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchakalpatrubhya Shatra Pasandubhya Evecha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. வந்தே லட்சுமிபதிம் தேவம் சங்குசக்ராகராதரம் வித்யாமூர்த்திம் அயக்ரீவம் சப்தார்த்த ஞான லப்தயே அமிர்தாத்மோ தமேதாமோஹமுர்தம் ஆரணாமிபம் பாஞ்சராத்திரம் ஆகமாச்சாரியம் வந்தே வைகுந்த பூபதிம். Translation: To me, the Brahmanas is the highest and the most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by the attendants has actually been displayed by me. Because the doormen are my servitors, I take it to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incidents that has arisen. So here, Krishna is showing the utmost humility, which is very the great requirement for a living entity to come out from this bodily concept of life and to go back to the kingdom of the Lord. Ama nidvam adam vidvam ayimsa santir arjavam acharyo upasana saucham dairyam atma vinigraha. The process of going back to the Lord, the process for the soul to get freedom from this bodily concept of life, is very beautifully explained in the 13th chapter in the Gita. Very beautifully Krishna explains: mahabhutani ahankara buddhir avyaktam eva cha indriyani dasakam cham pachantriya gocharam ichha dvesha sukha dukha sanga ata chetana drita itat kshetram samasena savikaram udaritam. Somewhere rather, the soul, which is being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally, mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, mana sastra nindriyani prakriti sthani karsati, even though it is eternal part and parcel of Krishna, somewhere rather, he has fallen into this material concept of life. And in this material concept of life, he has got very active elements within his body. The Lord is explaining there are 23 elements within this body. Mahabhutani, the great elements, are the earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the other five elements, the knowledge acquiring senses, ear, the eyes, the nose, the mouth and the skin, altogether 10. And now we got the working senses, the leg, the hands, genital, the ends and the sound, 15. And we also got the object of the senses, the sound, the form, the smell and the taste and the touch. And together with these 20, then it has also got a mind, false ego and intelligence, 23 elements. And Ichha, Dvesha, Sukha, Dukha, the living entities in this world, sometimes they are finding happiness in their life, and sometimes they are in the distressed condition of life, and sometimes there is desires within himself, and sometimes there is a hatredness within himself, all due to the interactions of the 23 elements within this body. And how they interact into the modes of nature. The 14th chapter, the Lord says, Sarva yoni sukaunteya mutaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahatyonir aham bija prajapita. That by nature all the living entities have come to this world. They all are children of Krishna. But somewhere or other, due to the modes of this material nature, sadvam raja samahiti gune prakartir sambhava nibhannani mahabhavo deha dehinam abhyayam. The whole material creation is the combinations of three modes of material nature: the mode of goodness, the mode of passionate, and the mode of ignorance. When the elements within this body, the 23 elements within this body, when they interact with these modes of nature, then the result is coming out. And he says that satvam sukham sanjayayati rajas karmani bharata Avritam jnana tu tanumaham tamasi tu tamaha tamasi jayanti saya. That when the elements in the body, when they interact with the mode of goodness and the living entities become happy, the elements of goodness take the living entity to the condition of happiness. When the elements in the body interact with the mode of passionate, and it increases a lot of desires and attachment and the fruitive, you know, labor in the world. And when it interact with the mode of ignorance, and the living entity solely, purely become covered by his real knowledge, being the part and parcel of Krishna. Raja Astama Shabipatya Satvam Bhavati Bharata Raja Satyam Tama Api Satvam Raja Stamaschaya. And this happiness and distress in the world is fluctuating all the time. When the mode of goodness become prominent, and the living entities become happy and joy in his life, and sometimes the mode of goodness been taken over by the mode of passionate, and he feels sometimes he's happy, and sometimes he feels very distressed. And sometimes the mode of ignorance takes over the mode of passionate and goodness, and all the time this living entity becomes very distressed in his life. And Krishna says, you know, there is the symptoms that, you know, how the modes are being seen. He says, sarvadvairesu deyosmin prakasam upajayate yada jnanam yada tadvidya vibhritam satvam iti utha. That when the nine gates of this body, when they are imbibed with the knowledge, and the mode of goodness become very prominent in himself. When somebody is very eager to imbibe the knowledge of this Brahmagyan, and automatically it elevates him to become a more better in his life. Lobha pravarti Lobha asamas pravarti, when the Rajogun becomes prominent and he has got a lot of desires within himself for the material persuasions. And aprakasam pravartim cha pramodam moha eva cha tamasi itani jayante vivritam kurunandana. When the mode of ignorance become a condition in his life, and he becomes like a madman, and he becomes very lazy, and totally is not interested into any kinds of enlightenment in the world. Somewhere other, practically we see in the world that people are mostly they are conditioned by the mode of madness. There was a husband and wife. The wife, she told the husband was getting ready to go to work. She told him, by the time you come back from work today, if you see that my hairs are not done this today, and you can sleep with me tonight. And when you come back, if you see that my hairs are half done, maybe you can sleep with me, maybe you are not. And she said, if my hairs are totally done, and I have to tell you that tonight you are not sleeping with me. And the man replied to the wife, he said, look, when I come back today, if I've taken a one can of beer, he said, I'm not sleeping with you. If I've taken a two cans of beer, maybe I'm sleeping with you, maybe I'm not sleeping with you. But if I've taken more than a dozen cans of beer, I don't give a damn about your head intake. So in the world, people have become so madness to the sense gratification that somewhere or other, that they do not give any concessions to the other kind of life. They are seeking for happiness in their life. They are seeking for liberation in their life. But that only comes through different process of, you know, which the Yajurveda says that there are nine kind of things are there, nine process there for a person to become liberation in the world. One is that he has to study the Vedas. Second, he has to perform austerity. Third, he must acquire the Brahma Gyan, the knowledge about the Absolute Truth, the knowledge about the world, and the knowledge about himself. And the fourth, he must become free from violence. And the fifth, he control his senses. And the sixth, he performs, you know, some service to his guru. And out of these six things, what is, you know, one is the studying of the Vedas, the second is, you know, performing austerity, the third is acquiring Brahma Gyan, the fourth is free from violence, and the fifth is controlling of the senses, and the sixth is service to Guru. Out of these six things, one becomes the most important for the living entity, is that he must pursue the Brahmagyan. It's very important that he has understood the Brahmagyan, the knowledge about the Supreme Absolute Truth, the knowledge about his creation yet, and also the knowledge about his own self. Bhagavan Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya Haya Prima Prayojana Vedatina Vasukhaya. The whole Vedas are emphasizing that the living entities has got the eternal Sambandha, eternal relation with the Lord. And it only can be established through some process of devotional service. And by performance of that devotional service, automatically he feels the happiness in his heart and in his life. So that is very important. Somewhere or other, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is there to take us to transcend the amounts of material nature. Otherwise, the moment he still sits on the material nature, it is not easy for him to go back to the spiritual world, because the nature of the material nature is that it is always fluctuating, always changes. That's what the Lord says, Daivi is gunamayi mama maya duratiya mami vaye prapatyante mayam etam tarantite. It's very difficult to overcome the modes of material nature unless a person surrendered to Krishna. Although the Krishna is the creator, e chaiva sadvika bhava rajasthamasta chaye mata iveti tanvidi natvam tesu temayi. He is the creator of this mode of goodness and passionate and ignorance, and he is the cause of all those things, but he is, you know, aloof from the modes of material nature. Whereas the living entities, they become influenced. Sri Bhirguner Maya Heve Ibyam Idam Tibyam Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohitam Na Bijanati Mamibyam Paramavyayam. The living entities, they are carried away by the influence of mode of nature. So here we see that giant Vijay being cursed by the Kumaras. The Kumaras told them, Tamo Rajobhyam Karite, Tamo Rajobhyam Arite, Padamolam Madhudvisa, Papistam Yonisam Janma. He says that now, because you've been agitated by the modes of goodness and the modes of passionate and ignorance, that's what I cursed you, that, you know, for a person who has been, you know, condition in these modes of nature, and they have, cannot get shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, and they have to go to the material world where they are conditioned to this kind of livings. So only by the mercy that a living entity can overcome the influence of the modes of nature, it is only by the mercy of Krishna he can do this, because Krishna is not subjected to these modes of nature. In the fourth chapter, Krishna again says, Namam karmani limpanti, namam karma palispriha itimam yo bijananti, karma bilna sa bhadyate. Krishna says, I haven't got any work to be performed in this world, and I haven't got the things to enjoy the fruit of the labor in the world, and I'm free from all this karma, and whoever come in connection with me, and they become free from all kinds of karma in the world. So Krishna consciousness giving us this wonderful opportunity to become utmost happy in our life, to become very peace in our life. But it's only happened when a person connected himself to Krishna. In the second chapter again, Krishna says, Nasti buddhir ayuktaksya, nacha yuktaksya bhavana, nachava vayata santir, asantasya kuta sukham. He says, if a person is not connected himself in Krishna consciousness, he will never have the transcendental intelligence. Without that, he is not going to have the steady mind. Without that, there is no question of peace. Without peace, where is the question of happiness? Bhaktaram yajya tapasam sarvalokam maheswaram suviram sarvabhutanam gyatvam mamsantim richati. The moment the living entities understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything in the world, if we understand that Krishna is the supreme friend and well-wisher of the living entities, and automatically the living entities become very peace and happy. Automatically, here Krishna is showing the utmost humility. Without this humility, without being humbled in his journey in this life, no way that a living entity become very happy. At one time here Krishna is very happy that giant Vijay been crushed by the Kumaras, because they need some education, and Krishna is arranged, because Krishna is very kind to his devotee. He wants to see that the devotees are always happy and peaceful in the path of Krishna consciousness. It only happens when the living entities become, they imbibe the mood of humility, humbleness in his life. At one point, Yudhishthira asked Bhishma Dev, Aho kastam aho nyayam yadyuyam dharma nandana. Yudhishthira, Bhishma Dev said, my dear Yudhishthira, you have followed, you know, throughout your whole life, you have followed, you know, the path of dharma. You have respected the brahmanas, and you have respected the supreme personality of Godhead. Even though there are so much of problems in your life, aho kastam aho nyayam, even though there are so much of problem in your life, even though there are so much of injustice has happened in your life, but all the time you have always stayed in the path of dharma. You have always stayed in the path of respecting the brahmanas. You have always, you know, stayed in the path of, you know, putting yourself, you know, as a servant of Krishna. The same Krishna, the same brahmana, the same dharma which you have been respecting throughout your whole life, they have protected you from the most difficult kind of danger that come from the opposite party, the enemies. So here Krishna is emphasizing how the brahmanas are so important to him, how the path of religion is very important to him, how he himself is very important for the living entities' upliftment. Dharmasya hi apavargasya natadidalpa kalpate natasya dharmakantasya kamalabhaya smriti smrita. That the dharma, the path brought by Krishna, is only takes the living entities to go more higher and more higher. And that kind of a dharma has been very beautifully spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and somewhere there, all the unwanted anattas, unwanted, you know, material elements are sitting in our heart, and it may be taken away from us. By humble prayers to the Lord, it is possible for us to become free. When the Lord Narasimhadev was talking with Prahlad, and Narasimhadev, you know, after killing Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad, what kind of a benediction do you want? And Prahlad says, my dear Lord, I did not come to you to do some business, that I give you this and in return you give me that. There is no business transaction in my sambandha with you, so I don't want anything. But Narasimhadev says, you know, I'm very impressed with your devotion. I would like to give you something. And beautifully Prahlad says, Yadi dasasi me kaman varam tuam varadatsabha kamanam ridim apsamroham bhavatastu brine varam. My dear Lord, if after all if you wanted to give something to me, I humbly pray that you may take away all the material desires are seated in my heart and make me your pure devotee. That is my humble prayers towards you. Even his father Hiranyakashipu, he had so much in his life, all the material opulence he has got in his life, and he has got the greatest benediction from Lord Brahma. Nanta bahir jivanaktam anyasadapi chayudaya na bhumao nambare mrityu na nare na mirgeriva. Hiranyakashipu got all the material opulence. He has got the boon that he no need to know, he cannot die inside the residence. He has got a benediction that, you know, he cannot die outside the residence. He has got benediction, whatever weapons created by the other demigods cannot be, you know, used to kill him. He has got a benediction, he, you know, cannot die in the daytime or night time. He has got benediction, he cannot die in the land or in the sky. He got a benediction, he cannot be killed by the human or animal. He has got all this wonderful benediction himself. But unfortunately, he is not happy in his life. All the ways he is in a depressed condition. Always he is very unhappy. Then he looked at his son one day, asked Prahlad, now please tell me, where did you learn all these things? And Prahlad, the first thing he told his father, tat sadhumanle suravarya dehinam sada samyagya dhiram asagriya idvagapapam griyahanda kupam gatovanam yat asi asrayetya. My dear father, those who have accepted the temporary material world, and together with that, those who have accepted the temporary materialistic way of life, for them in their life, there is no question of happiness. Anil, they go to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there is the personality who is known as Hare Krishna. Unless he go and bow and take shelter, surrender at his lotus feet, otherwise nobody is going to be happy in his life. Unless Krishna bless the life of the living entities. Sometimes because the influence of the modes of nature, we are carried away by different things. And sometimes some of us involved in some sort of aparad, have not very nice interaction with the devotees, and that delay our progress in Krishna consciousness. When Draupadi was talking with Yudhishthira in the forest, Draupadi told Yudhishthira in the forest, she says, my dear husband, when we left Hastinapur, when we were in the exile, when we left Hastinapur, everybody in Hastinapur, they lamented that, you know, we are leaving Hastinapur. Everybody became very distressed and everybody cried seeing us that we are leaving to the forest, except the four people, the Duryodhan, Dusasan, Saguni and Karna. Except these four people, everybody else have regretted that we are leaving to the forest. So she said, I want to make sure that you kill these four people. I wanted to see their blood flowing in the earth. And Ulysses says, you know, never mind, you know, forgive them and forget them. And Draupadi became very upset with the answer of Ulysses. She says, my dear husband, are you a Brahmana or are you a Kshatriya? Only the Brahmanas has got a quality of forgiveness. Samo dhamma tapa saucham santir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astakyam brahma karmasu mavajam. Brahmanas has got a tendency to forgive others. But you are Kshatriya, you should be using your prowess to punish others. So why you are behaving like a Brahmana? And she said, I will tell you a story happened between Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. One time Bali Maharaj went and asked Prahlad Maharaj, what is the best to use? Is it best to use forgiveness or best to use punishment? And Prahlad says, according to time, place and circumstances, which is required to use, that should be used. And Prahlad says that there are offenses can be forgiven, there are offenses cannot be forgiven. And he says there are six kinds of aparad is there, Vaishnava aparad. He says the six kind of Vaishnava aparad is that killing a Vaishnava is an aparad, envious of a Vaishnava is an aparad, angry upon seeing a Vaishnava is an aparad, not happy seeing a Vaishnava is an aparad, not paying obeisances to the Vaishnava is an aparad. Talking bad about a Vaishnava is an aparad. Beautifully, Prahlad Maharaj told Bali, no? Killing a Vaishnava is an aparad, talking bad about a Vaishnava is an aparad, envious of a Vaishnava is an aparad, not happy to see a Vaishnava is an aparad, angry upon seeing a Vaishnava is an aparad, and not paying obeisances to the Vaishnava, it's an aparad. And Prahlad says there are offenses can be forgiven. If somebody does an offense, it is his first offense, that should be forgiven. And somebody without his knowledge that he has done, out of ignorance he has done some offense, that also should be forgiven. And somebody by force within himself, without his own knowledge, that he has come out, you know, from inside and he has performed it without, you know, noticing those things, it is said that also should be forgiven. And he says some minor offenses should be forgiven because the publics are always noticing the walk of the Vaishnava. And for them to have a very good, you know, respect towards the devotee, he says sometimes we have to employ the tendency of forgiveness. And Prahlad said there are two people cannot be forgiven. One is that he has committed the offense. But then upon go and inquire from him and he point finger at another person, I think you got to go and ask the other fellow, but actually he has done it. The person who has done it, he never says sorry, but he's pointing at other and he should not be forgiven. And a person who is repeatedly doing the same mistake again and again and again, same offenses again and again and again, and he say that people cannot be forgiven. And Yudhishthira told Draupadi, it's very nice to hear. And he says that, do you know why Bhishma Dev to the great Acharyas, to Krishna, everybody, you know why they feel that I could become the most, you know, suitable ruler in the world? Of all the people, why they are choosing me? Because I employ forgiveness more than punishment in my life. And for me, I say that for the world to live together peacefully and harmoniously with the nature, with the human and everything, that has to be forgiven, has to be there, so that there will be peace all the time. So for me, I always will employ the tendency of forgiveness. So like that, we have to understand there are certain things that we have to avoid in the path of our practice of Krishna consciousness, especially the aparad towards the other living entities, that has to be forgiven. And the whole process in the Mahabharata, we see that the Pandavas were not, don't want to fight with the Kauravas. It's not because they have fear of the Kauravas. No. Tam sada kirpayan vistam asru purna kuleksanam visidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Because they have got that kind of humility in themselves. They got that kind of mercy in themselves. And they've got that kind of humbleness in themselves. And they are not willing to kill the opposite party of the Kauravas. They are not willing to do these things. When the Mahabharata Yuddham, the war is going to take place at any time, all the warriors are already assembled to fight. And it was almost any time they are going to, you know, blow the conch. And that time Yudhishthira got down from the chariot and straightly went to the opposite other side, you know, he went to the enemy side. And straight he went to Bhishma Dev, and everybody was very, very stunned to see what the Yudhishthira is trying to do. The brothers of the Yudhishthira, they thought maybe Yudhishthira now he wanted to, you know, carry the white flag, he doesn't want to fight. Yudhishthira direct, he went to Bhishma Dev, he touched the feet of Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev blessed him, "Let the victory be yours." And Yudhishthira went and touched the feet of Dronacharya, and Dronacharya blessed him, "That be the victory is be yours." And he went to the Kripacharya and touched his feet, and he also blessed, "Let the victory be yours." And after getting the blessing from the elders, and Yudhishthira came back and then he sat on the chariot. And Duryodhan is watching all those things. He's seeing that, you know, he went there, he touched their feet, and they blessed him that, you know, victory will be yours. And after this thing, Duryodhan went to Bhishma Dev, "Maybe a grandfather, it's very unfortunate for me to have a grandfather like you, and you are very ungrateful. You are eating in my house, but you are blessing the party on the other side. It's not very good for you." Bhishma Dev, you know, he got very upset with him. He says, "Duryodhan, I haven't seen anybody so foolish than you. All the time I've been telling you and telling you and telling you that, you know, you should listen to the me and then you follow the path of dharma." He says, "Look, you are very angry that I blessed Yudhishthira because he come and touched my feet. And because he came and touched my feet, I blessed him." And he says, "Duryodhan, even if you have come and touched my feet, I would have given you the same blessing, but unfortunately, you're not willing to bow down to the feet of other people, so you have to be killed in this battlefield." So the path of devotion, bhakti, is bringing us towards that humbleness to accept that all of us, we are very small in this world, and Krishna is the biggest, and every other living entities. Vaishnavas, they don't see that they are very big. When Ajamil was not able to take the life of, you know, the Vishnutudas, Yamutudas were not able to take the life of Ajamil, and they went and spoke to Yamaraj. They said to Yamaraj, "We thought that you are the supreme, you are the big, and we are working for you, but somebody more bigger than you have come and protected this Ajamil. So please tell us, who are you?" And Yamaraj says, "No, Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Mano, Prahlado, Bhishmo, Janaka, Vali, Vaya, Sakti, Vayam. My dear servants, you know, actually there are 12 others, 12 of us. We are the representative of the path of dharma. And we are just working under the order of Krishna. So better you don't go and take the life of those who are engaged in his devotional service." So the Yamadutas, they asked, "Please tell us which are the people's life we can take and come. which other people's life we cannot take and come. And Yamara Sete Deva Siddha Parigata Pavitram Gada E Sadhava Samadarso Bhagavat Prapannam Tanno Pasidato Harir Kadayan Vibhuktan. He says that those devotees who are always engaged in the service of Krishna, those who are always chanting the name of the Lord, you please do not go to disturb them and, you know, try to take their life. Gada, Lord Vishnu is carrying his gada and then he's walking behind these devotees, and anybody go and try to disturb these devotees and they are ready to whack them with the gada. So please don't go there. And he asks them where to go. Jivana Bhakti Bhagavat Guna Name Diyam Chetasthana. He says there are people who are born as a human being in this world. Those are born as a human being in this world. Those have got two legs but they have not been to the temple of Lord Krishna. He said, you bring them to me. Those have got two hands, you know, and born as a human being and they did not do any service, menial service for the Lord, and those are the candidate to be brought to me. And those have got a ear but they did not hear the subject matter of Krishna consciousness, you bring them to me. Those have got eyes but they did not relish the beauty of Krishna, you bring them to me. And those people who have got the nose but they are not smelling the fragrance of flowers or incense offered to the Lord, they are the candidate to be brought to me. And those people who have got a mouth, they are not chanting the holy name of the Lord, you bring them to me. In this way, he says, those people who have nothing to do, no connection with their Krishna, and they are born as a human being, and they are the candidate to be brought to me, bring them. So without Krishna consciousness, it's very, very difficult for a living, and it has become very happy in his life. And in details, that is in the Puranas, in details, the Yamatudas ask Yamaraj, please give us the detailed information about a Vaishnava. How he looks, how he acts, please tell us. And Yamaraj gave for 20 details information, who are the Vaishnavas. Of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we got information from Mahaprabhu. There are 26 qualities they are describing. Kripalu, Akirta, Droha, Satya, Sama, Nirosa, Vadanyaya, Mrudu, Suchi, Akinchana, Sarva, Pakaraka, Santa, Krishna, Charana, Akama, Aniya, Stira, Vijitka, Sadguna, Metabuk, Apramat, Manara, Hamani, Gambira, Karuna, Maitra, Kavi, Dakshat, Mauni. All these 26 qualities been mentioned in there. Chaitanya Charitamrita. But here Yamaraj personally giving some indication how the Vaishnavas are looks like, what is their quality, and after hearing these things, please do not go to the Vaishnavas present. I know, unknowingly, if you have been to them, if you've been to a place where the Vaishnava resides, and he says, you see them, they are the messenger of the Lord, and you bow down and offer respect to them, and please come back without, you know, troubling them. So yeah, Yamaraj told the Yamatudas the details, information, who is the Vaishnava. Yamaraj says a person who feels very unhappy in himself when he's not chanting the name of the Lord. When he's not chanting the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra of the Lord, when he feels very upset in himself, you know, the Lord has given me everything, but today I have not chanted the name of the Lord. And Yamaraj says, there is the one indication that is a Vaishnava. And then he says, the second indication is that a Vaishnava who feels the unhappiness of others, when he sees others are not happy, and he feels, you know, he is not happy because others are not happy. And he says, there's another indication that is a Vaishnava. And the third indication, he says, that a person who sees that every other people in the world are more bigger than me and I'm their servant, he says that's an indication that is a Vaishnava. And the fourth indication, a person who treats friends and enemies as equal, he says he is a Vaishnava. And then the fifth, you know, quality is that a person voluntarily give up the enjoyment for material way of life, that's an indication that is a Vaishnava. A second indication is that a person who sees the other's wife as mother except his own wife, he says that's an indication he is in Vaishnava. And the seventh indication, a person who doesn't lie in his life, and that's an indication that, you know, he's a Vaishnava. And the eighth indication is that a person who does not steal the property of others is a Vaishnava. And the ninth indication, a person who is not, you know, eager to indulge in the illusion way of life, Maya, is not been touched by Maya, is an indication that he's a Vaishnava. And the tenth indication is that a person who has got, you know, a tremendous determination in his life that whatever comes, that I will follow the path of Dharma, I always will be sticking to Krishna consciousness. Whoever got that kind of determination to be with Krishna, that's the tenth indication that he's a Vaishnava. And he says the 11th indication of being a Vaishnava is that a Vaishnava understands that all the holy places, all the holy rivers, all the temples are already inclusive in the chanting of the name, holy name. All are in the holy name of the Lord. And let me take up the holy name chanting. And by chanting the holy name, it is as good as that I visited the whole pilgrimage, the temples and the holy river and everything. Understanding that holy name is everything and is chanting the name of the Lord is an indication that is a Vaishnava. And a person who has not been carried away by anger and duplicity, he is considered to be a Vaishnava. And a person who has got, you know, greediness in his life, lusty desires in his life, and, you know, who is free from lusty desires and greediness, he considered that he is a Vaishnava. And a person who doesn't discriminate anybody in the world, whether he doesn't discriminate somebody is poor, rich, or educated or uneducated, and doesn't discriminate according to their caste. And you see, when a person is not discriminating, and he is a Vaishnava. And then he says a person who become free from the violence against living entities, a person who mentally doesn't think bad about others, a person who verbally never speaks bad about others, a person who physically never do any harm against others, who are free from violence, is to be considered as a Vaishnava. And the 16th indication is that a person who has got a very good character in himself is considered to be a Vaishnava. A 17th indication, a person who is free from enviousness is a Vaishnava. The 18th indication is that a person who speaks very pleasantly, very sweet way, when he opens his mouth and talks to somebody and people are eager to hear him again, wanted to make friends with him, and they are waiting when he will speak again. A person who very pleasantly, in a very sweetness way, indulge in speaking to others, he says, consider he is a Vaishnava. And the 19th indication is a person doesn't worship other than Krishna. He doesn't go to any other temple, any other demigod, any other worship except Krishna. That's indication that he's a Vaishnava. And the 20th, you know, qualities of a Vaishnava is that he's totally understood that everything I need in my life can be given by Lord Krishna himself. Let me surrender to Krishna. He take out the Saranagari Tattva. He surrender to Krishna. He says that is the wonderful quality of a Vaishnava. So in a way, when you say these qualities are present in somebody, then you have to understand that he has been loved by Krishna and he is the candidate of Vaikuntha. He simply has been sent to the material world to propagate the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, to assist the work of Dharma. Then he says that, you know, please do not go and, you know, indulge in any sort of, you know, disturbance into the life of the Vaishnavas. So the Amadutas, they understood that, you know, the beautiful qualities of a Vaishnava. Unless a person indulges in the process of Krishna consciousness, otherwise everything else we do in this world is only going to accumulate karma for us. And Krishna noticed that Arjuna has got also pride in himself. And Krishna wants to crush the pride of Arjuna. At one time when Arjuna and Krishna was going in the chariot, and there they saw that there was a jackal was going around in the dead body of an animal. The jackal is, you know, going, and then he's looking at the lake of the dead body and looks at the end of a dead body. That is, you know, somebody, one man died, and the jackal going around the dead body, but he's not eating the dead body. Looking at that, and Arjun thought, you know, it's very clever, and he says, you know, Krishna, can you see how stupid and how foolish is that jackal? Instead of eating that dead body of a human, that jackal is not eating. And he says, the jackal is so foolish. Why? Because, you know, if some other bigger animal comes there And he's going to grab that dead body, and jackal is not going to get anything. Look at the foolishness of that jackal. And Krishna smiles. And Krishna understands that, you know, Arjuna has got so much pride in himself. He feels that, you know, he knows everything in the world. He's very clever. And Krishna says to Arjuna, let us go and speak to the jackal. Why is doing these things? When they went there, Krishna called the jackal Jambuka. He said, my dear Jambuka, my friend Arjun thinks that you are the most foolish person here, because instead of eating that dead body of that human, you are going around and going around and going around, and my friend thinks if somebody, some other big animals come, then you are not going to have anything here. So why are you doing this thing? And jackal Jambuka says, my dear Lord, you know everything. There is no for me to answer this question, but because you have requested for me to speak, let me tell you why I'm going around and going around this dead body, why I'm not eating anything from these dead elements. And the jackal says, my dear Lord, I'm going and then I'm smelling the feet of this dead body. I'm smelling the feet to see whether he has been to the temple of Lord Vishnu. If he hasn't been to the temple of Vishnu, and then he is simply bhoga, I go and eat that bhoga, what benefit I would get? I'm already suffering in the body of an animal. If I get some prasadam, that will help me. So I'm smelling the feet of this human and seeing that that leg hasn't been to your temple, so it is simply bhoga, I don't want to eat. And then I went and smelled the hand, and I see that, you know, the hand also hasn't done any service, you know, for the Lord. I'm seeing if I go and hit the hand, and that also will create more karma for me, so I don't want to touch that. And I'm going and smelling the head to see whether he has bowed down in front of you, but he hasn't done this thing, it is also another bhoga. Why should we eat these things? So seeing that, you know, the whole dead body here is simply bhoga, because he hasn't been engaged in any sort of service in, you know, in the path of dharma, so I reluctant to eat this dead body. And Arjun put down his head to understand how foolish that, you know, to see that somebody is, you know, foolish. So in a way that the path of Krishna consciousness will bring in a wonderful progress in our life. It brings in, fulfill the desires of the living entities, and it makes us, you know, joy and peace in our life, provided that we properly engaged in the path of Krishna consciousness and have a wonderful association with the devotees. And these two things which Sarubhuma Bhattacharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though there are 64 angas of bhaktis are there, there are 64 angas, limbs of bhaktis there, no, Guru Padasriya Tasmad, no, Krishna Dikshanam Siksadi, Visrambena Guru Seva, Sadhu Varidmanu Vartate, there are 64 angas. Let us little bit recall the 64 angas and see what is the essence is coming up from there. That's out of 64 angas, the 10 angas that should be accepted by the devotees. Number one is that out of 64 qualities of the bhakti, number one, a person must accept a spiritual master. Number two, he serve the spiritual master. Number three, he inquire from the spiritual master. Number four, he follow Guru, Sadhu and Sastra. Number five, he inquire the Saddharma, the duty of the soul from the spiritual master. And number six, he give up his sense enjoyment to make progress in Krishna consciousness for the sake of Krishna. He gives up some material enjoyment. And number seven, he desires to go and live in a place like a Ganga or Dwaraka. And number eight, he works for the maintenance. What is requirement for the maintenance of this body? He works for that maintenance of his body. And number nine, he follows the Ekadasi. And number five, and number ten, there are five kinds of trees there. Amaraki, Vilva, Neem tree, and Banyan and Asoka. And he respects these five trees. So these are the 10 angas a devotee must accept. And the Goswami says there are another 10 angas that should be rejected. The one to be rejected is the number one. Anybody who oppose Krishna, who don't like Krishna, you give up the association of that person. Number two, not to desire to make a lot of disciples in the world. Number three, give up your big, big plan in the material world. Number four, give up, you know, reading all kinds of books just simply for argument or simply for the sake of, you know, reading it, which is not connected with Krishna consciousness. Give up that kind of reading. And number five, that not to be carried away by the three modes of material nature. And number six, not to become distressed in your life. And number seven, do not disrespect, not to disrespect the demigods. And number eight, not to perform violence against other living entities. That should be given up. Number nine, nama aparat and seva aparat, that also should be given up. And number 10, in a place where somebody is talking bad about Krishna and his devotees, should not stand and, you know, enjoy the conversation, should leave the place. These are the 10, should be given up. So out of 64, 10, I've said we should accept that. Another 10, that we should be given up. There are another 44 angas are there. There are 11 angas, limbs must be performed within one's body. One is that he must put a tilak for himself, as an indication that he is a devotee of the Lord. Number two, while putting that tilak, he has to say the 12 names of the Lord. And number three is that put the garlands which has been offered to the Lord, and after all this prayer finished, put the garland around his neck. And number four, that, you know, he danced for the Lord. And number five, he bowed down in front of the Lord. And number six, when bowing, when he's getting up, he's only seeing the Lord, he's not seeing anybody others around. And gets up, he sees the Lord. And number seven, he follows the procession of the Lord. When there is some festival, Radha Yatra or anything, he follows the procession. Number eight, he goes to the temple of the Lord. Number nine, he circumambulates the temple for 3 times. And number 10, he does some menial service for the Lord. And number 11, he does, you know, archana puja for the Lord. These are the 11 things to be done with the body. And there are 9 things to be done with the mind. Is that always accept everything happens in your life as the mercy of Krishna. It's anugraha, whether good or bad, is the mercy of Krishna. And number 2 is that never forget Krishna. And number 3, always remember Krishna. And number 4, become a servant of Krishna. And number 5, make friendship with Krishna. And number 6, bring some gift for Krishna. And number 7, bring the best for Krishna. And number 8, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. And number 9, surrender to Krishna. These are the 9 things to be done with the mind. 10 in the beginning, 10 in the 10 acceptance, 10 rejectance, 20, and 11 I've said to be done with the body is 31, now 9 with the mind is 40. Now there are 12 things to be done with the senses, knowledge acquiring senses. 12 is that always hear the topic of Krishna consciousness. And with the eyes, look the beauty of the Lord with your eyes. And 3, participate and see the arati of the Lord with your eyes. And number 4, smell the fragrance of flowers offered to the Lord with your nose. And number 5, use the mouth, you know, sing for the Lord individually with your whole heartedly, sing for the pleasure of the Lord individually. And number 6, collectively with other devotees, sit and then sing bhajan for the Lord with your mouth. And use the mouth, number 7, to chant the holy name of the Lord. The 7th process to be done. And number 8 is that use your mouth to take the prasadam offered to the Lord. And number 9, to take the holy water, you know, that the charnamrita been offered to the Lord. Number 9. And number 10, use your hand to do some menial service for the Lord. Number 11, then, you know, use the mouth, as I said, the mouth to be used for doing the bhajan, and individually, collectively doing the bhajan and chant the holy name of the Lord, and then to take prasadam offered to the Lord, take holy water offered to the Lord. And number 11 is that use the mouth to go and speak to the Lord. You got some difficulties, you got some, you know, problem, and then open out your sentiments to the Lord, speak to the Lord. He's the best person that who can solve our problems. And number 12 is that use your mouth to say some beautiful prayers for the Lord. These are the 12 things to be done with these senses. So there are 40 I've said before, now I've said 12, there are 12, 52. Now there is another voice called Tadia Sevaya that, you know, service to the Tulasi. Serve Tulasi Maharani, number one. And then serve the Vaishnavas, number two. And serve the Grantha. Reading the books is a service to the Lord. So one must read the books every day. And number four, a service in the places like Mathura. So now 52 plus 4 is 56. There are three other things is that participating in the festival. One should celebrate the festival of the Lord according to one's capacity. And second, one should follow the Kartik Vrata. And the third is that one should, in a very bigger way, with all together with other devotees, the major festival like Janmashtami and other festival should be celebrated very elaborately. These three things is already 59. There are five things that are coming. Now, with great faith, you worship the deity of the Lord. And number two, hear the Bhagavatam every day. And number three, chant the holy name of the Lord every day. And number four, you take the association of the devotees every day. And number five is that desire to go and live in the place like Mathura. These are the 64 bhakti anga. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya says, Samsara Sarpadiste Murchitanam Khalau Yuge Ausadim Bhagavan Namo Sasmar Vaishnava Sevanam. He said there are two things very important in the life of a devotee. Although there are many things been mentioned there, the two things is most important here, that one should always chant the holy name of the Lord, and another thing is that he always keep the association of Vaishnavas. And these two things will deliver a person from the clutches of repeated birth and death. And when Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, always been the entrance, you know, Mahaprabhu, you know, he raised his lotus feet and then he washes his feet. And that time Kalidas was, you know, folding his hand like this, he's taking the water of the water, wash the feet of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu looked at Kalidas, he says, Bhaktapana Duliyara, Bhaktapana Jala, Bhaktabhukta Havesesa, Tina Mahabala, my dear Kalidas, if a person can do three things in his life, the Vaikuntha is already open for him. The door of Vaikuntha is open for you. What are the three things? He says, if a person can take the dust from the feet of a Vaishnava, a person who can take the remnants of food left by the Vaishnava, and a person who can drink the water which has washed the feet of a Vaishnava, that will guarantee his passage to the Vaikuntha planet. So that is how the Vaikunthas, well, the Vaishnavas have become very powerful element for us to make progress in the path of dharma. So that's what the Yajurveda, they say, Vaishnava should not be just a Vaishnava, they are called the Dasa Vaishnava. 10 things must be there for a person to be a Vaishnava, it says. Number one is that Advasi, that he should not be very envious, he should not be envious towards Krishna or any other living entities. That is one quality Vaishnava must have. And together with that, he says that Anukulam, he must happily associate with the Vaishnavas. There's a second quality he must have together with the first one, non-envious. And the third one is that Trinamadari, he takes one of the name of Krishna and then he put dust at the back and he always, you know, remembers, I'm a servant of Krishna. The third quality Vaishnava must have. And the fourth quality is, he says that Sangharadari, that the Vaishnava puts the tilak in his body. And the fifth, you know, quality he must have together with the other four is that Mandarapadi, always he has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the sixth quality, he says, the Vaishnava means he must have control over the five, you know, senses. And the seventh quality, he says, the Vaishnava means he also known as a Sri Vaishnava. He does not worship any other god other than Krishna. That he should have with him. And the eighth quality, he says, you know, Vaishnava known as a Prabandham, you know, that he says that, you know, Saranagati, surrender to Krishna is very important. I must surrender to Krishna. That quality he must have with him. And then the ninth quality says Vaishnava also known as the egg handi, and he says that surrender to Krishna is not easy. There are so much of, you know, favorable and unfavorable, so much of elements to be followed. So he thinks that surrender to Krishna is very difficult to follow, you know, the teaching. He says, let me go and catch all the lotus feet of Krishna. Because I do not know anything. I do not know the sastra. I do not know the detailed information how to do this thing. He thinks that let me go and catch all the lotus feet of Krishna. That is my surrender to Krishna. And the tenth one, they said, he becomes a Paramaya Gandhi. He thinks that, oh, it's not easy to catch the lotus feet of Krishna. But, you know, let me go and catch the lotus feet of the devotees who have already caught the lotus feet of Krishna. Let me become a Parama Eganti, Dasa Dasa Nudas. Let me become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnava. Because getting the lotus feet of Krishna is not easy. But there are already devotees, Vaishnava, already caught the lotus feet of Krishna. Let me go and catch the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. That will be my, you know, greatest service to the Vaishnava tradition. So in a way that Mahaprabhu bringing that wonderful humility in our life, which we've been reading today, Krishna became very, you know, he put himself to the utmost humility, and then he says sorry to the Kumaras. Okay, thank you very much for being here, coming for today's program. And anybody got any question, any comments here?
So, from what we hear, there are many indicators that point what is a devotee.
Yeah.
So, which one would you say is the most fundamental, the most essential? Because perhaps in one go, we cannot remember all of them.
Okay.
The 64. Which one is the essence?
Well, the essence already been said by Sarubhuma Bhattacharya, that holy name of the Lord is the essence, and together with that, Vaishnava's association is the essence. These two things are the essence. If you can do these two things very nicely, if you chant the holy name, it is said that there are three ways that devotees are chanting, people are chanting. One is through Nama Aparat. Another one is Namabhas, another one is Sudhanam. He says Namaparat, however you try to chant and then you perform Namaparat, it won't deliver you to the kingdom of the Lord. But the Namabhas will deliver you. Namabha means, Ajamil was saying, Sauketyam Pariyasamva Elanam. He says that if you chant the holy name of the Lord in a very joking way, very, you know, angry way or without any concentration, even that kind of chanting also will deliver you. It gives the Vaikuntha for you. Just like Ajamil, he is simply calling his son, but he been, you know, registered into Vaikuntha planet. So the Namabhas will deliver a person, the Sudhanam also will deliver a person, but the Nama Aparat will never deliver anybody. The Sastra says those who are performing Nama Aparat, they only get everything in this world. Those who are performing Namabhas, they get the Vaikuntha planet. And those who are having a Sudhanam, very loving way, they are chanting the name of Krishna with the focus in every single way they follow. And say they get Krishna himself into their life. If you are doing Sudhanam, you get Krishna. If you are doing Namabhas, you get his kingdom. But if you are doing Nama Aparat, you get Australia back again. So somewhere or other, we no need to try to become a very big devotee. Even we remain in the Namabhas and we don't perform Aparat. And there are some acharyas, some devotees who are going around and preaching, and they are doing, you know, the work of Krishna to bring the subject matter of Krishna consciousness to everybody. And then these are the people, they should perform a Sudhanam. And Mahaprabhu was, you know, basically he says, you know, somebody is preaching but they are not practicing, it is not very good. Somebody is practicing but they are not preaching, it is not very good. If simultaneously we can do practice and preach what you do, he says that is very good. The Sastra says there are two kinds of Vaishnavas. There one is Bhavyam, another one is Abhyandaram. Abhyandaram is devotee inside. Bhavyam is devotee outside. That means he has got all the indication of being a devotee, but he may not be a devotee inside. Like, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, there is people like Haula, there are people like Bhaula, Kartabaja, Neda, Sani, all kinds of, you know, the deviated group from the Vaishnava Sampradaya. They may be like that kind of, you know, people. So, we should try to become like Mahaprabhu comes and says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, go inside. That means Mahaprabhu is emphasizing so much that you bring out the quality of a Vaishnava. Just by seeing a Vaishnava, people like to become a Vaishnava. That's all. So the essence is that we should always chant the holy name and keep a very good association with the devotees, not to fight with them, not to argue with them, not to, you know, waste your time with, you know, them. If you can serve them, you serve them. If you cannot serve them, and then you do whatever service you desire to do. And if you got some free time, you think, you know, if you think that free time may cause some problem for you, you go and take some nap, go and sleep, so that, you know, you're free from, you know, committing offense towards the others. Because we got some free time and not to sit around and, you know, gossip, you know, here and there. Because we got some free time, we are meeting some friends and we ask, how are you? And we don't even know what we are referring to. Are we referring to the body? When we see a devotee, anybody, and we sit under somewhere and say, how are you today? Are you referring to their body or are you referring to their Krishna consciousness? Very difficult. Even the person who's asking, how are you? They themselves do not know what they're asking there. When Uddhava was talking with Krishna, Uddhava asked Krishna, why the living entities are suffering in the world? And Krishna asked Uddhava, who are suffering? The body is suffering or the soul is suffering? And Uddhava got a little bit, you know, stuck with the question. And Krishna said, the body is a dead element, how the body can suffer? If a dead body is there, go and give a kick to the dead body is not going to get up and say, you know, why you kick me? He hasn't got any feeling. So Krishna asks Uddhava, who is suffering? The body is suffering or the soul is suffering? And Krishna says the body is a dead element, so it doesn't suffer. And now come to the soul. Soul is Satchidananda, is enlightened, is eternity, bliss and knowledge, and he doesn't suffer. So you are telling who is suffering here. So when you ask a person, how are you? And we have to understand, are we referring to their body? Are we referring to their soul? Or are we referring what? So, because we have got some free time, it doesn't mean that we sit around and talk and talk and talk. That will not help us to go back to the spiritual world. We have a lot of other important things to work. That, you know, there are so much of progress and development to bring in ourselves. And the final moment, Krishna says, Ante kale chamamivam smaran mukva kalevaram. Only by thinking of me, that you will come back to me. Yam yam api smaran bhavam tajyantyante kalevaram. If you think whatever other thing, and you attain that body without faith. So we have to become the best of best. And even we have become the best of best, we always remain very humble in the path of Krishna consciousness. It's very easy and very simple. It is just, you have to understand it's simple. Is that it? When you finish, you go and chant some round. When you got some time, go and read the books. And you're tired, go and sleep a little bit. And you get up and then, you know, you got some more time, you know, you chant, you like to read, go and read. And then, you know, that's it. Nothing else, you know, for you to do. And the Shastra says there are four people are qualified for the Bhagavatam. Four people are qualified. But anyway, I'll stop, you know, it's going to more than 9:30, maybe. Some other time we will follow up with this. Thank you very much for being here and thanks for the opportunity. Somehow or other, if I've offended any of you with my talks, I seek for forgiveness and seek for your blessing. Let us be happy and carry on the path of Krishna consciousness laid out by great acharyas like Prabhupada and other Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.